You're tuned in to Real People of Orange County on KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. We're broadcasting live from the University of California campus in Irvine. We're streaming on the web at KUCI.org, and we are available via podcast, both on KUCI's website as well as Kimberly Martin's website, KimberlyMartin.com. I'm your guest host, Marie Stone. Kimberly Martin is out this week and next, and I'm pleased to be able to slide into her seat for the next few weeks. This show is an informative look inside the lives of Orange County's best and brightest. The guests of the show are all people who serve in their community in some meaningful capacity, and today is no exception. This week and next week, we're going to bring you a two-part series on art in Orange County. This week, we're delving into the world of graphic arts, infographics, cartooning, graphic novels, web design. And next week, we're tackling the fine arts, art museums, art installations. And through it all, we're going to talk about what art means, its history in Orange County, how you use it, how you enjoy it, all of it. I have two guests in the studio today, Scott Brown and Dave Masso. They both work in the arts and graphic design, who are going to help us sort of unravel where graphics have been now that newspapers and print media are giving way to the internet and web-based news, as well as ebooks and tablets, and where graphic design is going. Scott Brown, first up, is a freelance graphic artist who has worked in media agencies to create graphics for clients such as Oral-B, United Airlines, Pennzoil, Consolidated Freightway, and Taco Bell. He was a senior news artist for the Orange County Register from 1998 to 2014, spending 17 years covering major news events, including 9/11, wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, elections, tsunamis, hurricanes, and oil spills. Scott specializes in large travel section graphics that depict aerial views of destinations. He was also a member of the team that won a Pulitzer Prize for breaking news coverage of the Northridge earthquake in 1994. His art and graphics can be seen at scottbrowngraphics.com. Dave Masso is also here. Dave is a freelance web and graphic designer and the sole proprietor of Spacious Minds Creative Solutions, based in Newport Beach. A Bay Area native, Dave holds a BA from the University of California, Irvine, right here in studio art, and jumped into the world of web and graphic design shortly upon graduating in 95. Soon after, he took a job with a local advertising company doing yellow page style print ads, where he taught himself HTML from a book, as well as business buying and ads, and began asking about how these hot new things called websites and their and how their company could get one. Dave started freelancing soon after. He kept a foot in the graphic design world while continuing to do and learn about web design. And in 2007 or so, he discovered the WordPress platform for creating websites, where he now spends a good deal of his time customizing and otherwise hacking WordPress sites for clients. He's also involved in the local WordPress community and the co-organizer of this year's World Camp, which will be held June 6 and 7 in Costa Mesa. His website you should check out is spaciousmind.com. Gentlemen, hello.
Greetings.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. So, Scott, let's start with you. I gave a big introduction, but talk a little bit about what your original inspiration was for getting into graphic arts, graphic design, if you were an artist as a kid, sort of your initial path into the arts.
I was an artist as a youngster. I did a lot of drawing, and as all kids do, poorly, and practiced all the way through college. But it was not going to be my vocation. I was more interested in actually research and writing. But my first job, I was working for a weekly syndicated graphic service as a reporter, and I noticed that the artists were having a lot more fun than I was. And I got really jealous of how they got to go home and have a very relaxing evening while I had to stay around working all night. And so I tried really hard to get in on that good deal. And so I started practicing and training, and eventually applied and was able to start working as an artist.
Very cool. And you did that where? Where'd you start?
I started, it was that called North America Syndicate, which was owned by the Hearst Corporation. So yep. It's a Hearst syndication, and it was based in Irvine. That was my first job here. And eventually it was bought by Knight Ridder Syndication.
Yeah.
And from there I stayed in Orange County and went to work at the LA Times. Yeah. Working as an infographic artist.
Was it all on-the-job training
Pretty much. I was really lucky in that the people who I was around were very generous with their information and was willing to teach me everything I could, and I was very eager to soak it up. So,
very cool. Very cool. Mr. Dave, I'll let you jump in. So you were an artist as a kid, or tell us how you sort of got into graphic design and art.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it an artist, but I was kind of a geeky kid, you know. I was into comic books and fantasy stuff, cartoons, all that, and tried to emulate that stuff with drawing and stuff growing up, and came pretty clear I wanted to be someday somewhere within something creative, you know, something artistic, if you will. Ended up here at college, here at Irvine, and took studio art classes. That was my field, my major. Toward the end of that, it was around 94, 95, they started getting in some of the digital art. They had some computers over there, and they offered just a few classes. They were just kind of getting into, you know, digital art, I guess you'd say. You know, they had some scanners, and they showed us Photoshop, and I took what I could before I got out of here of that. I took a few, two or three classes, where it was like basic Photoshop and Illustrator and, at the time, Quark Express.
What year was this?
This was 95.
Yep.
Yeah. When I graduated in 95. So, following that, fooled around a little bit, got a job eventually at this advertising firm over here in Irvine. I wouldn't call it a firm, but they were the regional outlet, I guess, for the Thomas Register, which I don't know if you're familiar with. They were these big green books that were kind of like a Yellow Pages for companies that would make widgets and thingamajiggers and doodads and stuff. And I was doing like little Yellow Page type ads there, real quick. They needed to be done about half an hour. You move on to the next one. It was like boot camp. So we were using Quark Express at the time, which people may not remember, but it was a page layout program. And some of the customers that they sold ads to were starting to ask for websites, because websites were starting to come along. And they asked me if I could make them, and I couldn't. I didn't know how. So I got a book someone recommended to me. I don't remember who. And like it said in the intro, just kind of picked it up from there, and off I went. And now, years later,
here you are.
Here I am. Yep, still doing it. Still learning, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's sort of the exciting part of this industry, is there's always something new to learn. And I don't know, I mean, I definitely want to get into, you know, what it's like to work in the print industry versus what it's like to work in the online industry, and how you're reinventing yourself, Scott, specifically when you did all sort of print drawing. I don't know, when you started out, were you physically putting pen to paper?
Sure. Well, sure. Using line type and zip screen and all these sorts of ancient approaches that are sort of caveman like now, but yeah.
And then how did that start to switch over? What year did that switch over, where you were doing, you know, more of the work on the computer?
1989, 1990. We were using Mac Plus for typesetting initially, so we would create the art traditionally, but then do all the type, because my specialty is infographics, which is the combination of text and art together. Mm-hmm. So that we always had a lot of type on our art, so it was a huge step forward to be able to typeset all that on a Mac Plus without having to use a mainframe and a waxer and try to lay it all out. That really took leaps forward when the software came better and better. We were using Mac Draw in 1989, and then finally Freehand and Illustrator early 90s.
Right.
And I'm still learning software today.
You're still learning software today, yeah. Yeah.
A lot to
learn. I mean, how often does a new program come out that you feel like you have to relearn the wheel?
Well, there's still five of them I haven't learned yet. So I have always a lot of programs. And one of the frustrations is you might spend a fair amount of time learning it, and then in two or three years it becomes fairly obsolete. So it's a ongoing process.
Right, right. Now, can both of you look at a project like, Scott, you do a lot of natural disasters, hurricanes, tsunamis. When something like that occurs, is it now very obvious to you what the graphic is going to look like? Can you immediately visualize it in your head of what the graphic is going to look like, what information you have to gather, how you're going to, you know, depict it? Like, is all that second nature to you now?
Pretty much. It depends how much time you have and where the final product's going. Because to me, you can spend a lot of time daydreaming, but it really comes down to satisfying the needs of the client or the needs of the medium that you're using. So pretty quickly can narrow down and eliminate lots of options and just get down to the two or three things you have room for and you have time for.
Right.
And that makes it a lot simpler.
Right.
Unfortunately, there's a certain amount of repetition in that there are certain key things you tend to use a lot, like locator maps and things like that. So you know one of those might be the elements. But the fun thing is trying to find something that the viewer isn't expecting. I always hope mm-hmm. to have some element in there that is fresh or maybe is something like, oh, I didn't know that, something like that. Because you're right, the problem is sometimes you get into a rut and you start being so repetitious that it's not very interesting for the viewer.
Right, right. Yeah, the exciting part, I would think, of newspaper graphics is your timeline. So, I mean, you probably have, like, I don't know, 24 or 48 hours to get maybe less, right, to get a newspaper graphic out that's timely, that, you know, you don't want a tsunami graphic out 2 months after the tsunami happened.
It better be a very good graphic if it's
right.
2 months late.
Yeah, right.
No, exactly. It's very much, it varied from 2 hours, and then of course you tailor your work to meet that deadline. So mm-hmm. the graphic you're doing in 2 hours is pretty simple, something you know you can get done on deadline.
Do you have just like tsunami graphics in your store, and then you say, okay, now it happened here, so we can
right.
change the location,
the yeah, right.
change the date. Right. What about you, Dave? Can you talk a little bit about your process of sort of visualizing whatever your project is, what elements have to go into it, and it sort of, I don't know, your ideas of how you put together a design before you sit down to do it?
Yeah. Something you'll hear web people say a lot is it depends. It depends on a lot of the limitations or constraints. You might have a budget, you might have a timeline, you know, and they're all different. I tend to work with a lot of different types of small businesses, so what works for one may not work for another. And I don't know. It's a lot of research. You look around, see what, you know, you try to figure out what kind of field they want to compete in and what other people are doing, and you try to come up with something that will be contemporaneous with that, but not copying it, obviously. Try to put a spin on it or a twist on it. It just comes down to the project. It's hard to really shoehorn that into.
So tell me a little bit about some of your clients, like who is coming to you and what they're looking for. Are they looking for mostly advertising and marketing? Are they looking to...
No, mostly websites. Like okay. someone will come to me and say, hey, we need a website, or we need to redo ours, or it's old, you know, and it needs a facelift, or we need to tear it all down and do it all over again, and it really runs the gamut. Or some just need a couple things done to it, updates, stuff like that. I find I'm getting away from visual design more and more, and more spending time, God forbid, with code and stuff. I mean,
right.
it's not so much code, but it's style sheets and HTML, which coders would not call code. But to me, it's code because I'm not a coder. So making all that stuff bend to your will is my big challenge these days, I guess.
Right, right. You are tuned in to Real People of Orange County on KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. I'm here with Scott Brown, who's a freelance graphic artist, and Dave Masso, who is a web and graphic designer. And we are talking about the graphic arts. I was wondering if you both, Scott, I know you have kids, and Dave, I don't know if you do or not, but if you are having a conversation with a young person today and they say, we're thinking of going into the arts or we're thinking of pursuing this career, your advice to them, and if you see kind of where you see the industry going, and if you think it's a good industry to jump into, and sort of your advice to, you know, the person across campus who's sitting in their dorm room right now majoring in art.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I would never tell them not to, but it's not easy, I'd say that. And you got to kind of come up, you know, pay your dues and keep at it. You got to, you know, in the beginning, you might be working for peanuts or for free even, just to get some stuff in your portfolio. Unfortunately, that's how it goes. You know, I did it. I still kind of give some stuff here and there when I can. But just to get yourself out there and get some projects that are real world, you know, do anything you can to really do something that's not just a student, you know, class project, because people who want to hire you are looking to see your experience, what you've done for an actual paycheck, you know. So I'd just say keep at it and talk to other people, you know, network and stuff. Even if you're a student, you know, get a group. You guys can get together and show each other stuff and work on ideas, critique. Critique is good.
Yeah, critique group is a good idea to exchange ideas. What are the what would the degree be in now? If you were to go back to school now, what would you get your degree in?
I have no idea. No idea. I've been on my own for so long, and I'm kind of in my little cul-de-sac, and I just kind of plug away. And I don't know what it's like at schools now. What, you know, how they can teach this stuff and keep it up to date every quarter or semester and stuff. I wouldn't want that job, really, because it's always moving forward and changing, and I don't know.
Yeah.
And I'm not a computer programmer, so even more so. You just got to kind of go with what you like and keep going, keep learning. There's never an end to what you're going to be able to figure out. And there's so much stuff out there as well that, you know, there's YouTube, there's tutorials online, there's no end to it. So I'm pretty much self-taught.
Yeah, that's impressive to sit down and teach yourself HTML or some of these, you know, I don't know, hardcore coding.
Well, it was easier then when I started, because it, you know, now a website's made up of so much stuff, but it was relatively simple back then. I'd imagine, yeah, some introductory type classes to begin with, and then, you know, the limits are only on you, really.
Yeah, yeah. How about you, Scott? What do you tell your kids? They're a little young to be asked.
Be a doctor. yeah, I would say that I've had a very interesting experience, because I spent my entire working career as an employee, and it was great. They paid me well, and I enjoyed the benefits, and I showed up, and there was always work. And then starting in 2015, I've become a self-employed person, and I find it much more difficult and not as well paying. So when somebody says they're going into the graphic arts, I would say that there's winners and losers, and there's good and bad. And I would think that you should be very serious about considering that. It's not an easy choice. It's sort of like screenwriting, right? The people who make it big make it really big. Tons of money, tons of fame, whatever. But 98% have a really hard road, and maybe it never gets easier. So, like, you're 60 years old and you're still scraping together jobs. So, maybe not a great retirement plan.
Yeah.
But if you have a passion, that will dictate where you go. If you really can't do anything else, I mean, when I sit down and do a graphic, I'm still interested in visually displaying information and conveying what happened, and that's better than most jobs.
Yeah, I have to give a plug to your website again, which is scottbrowngraphics.com. The wealth of material, your ability to convey a vast amount of complicated information, both through text and through, and it's just beautiful. You know, it's art that you can hang on your wall and say, that's just beautiful. And it conveys an incredible amount and depth and breadth of information. Is really... It's really cool. It's amazing. But there's a lot of different ways you can do it. I mean, in addition to newspapers, I know that you've done work in the Parks Department. Maybe you can talk about that a little bit. You know, how you can expand your business beyond just newspaper graphics to other spots. Yeah, talk about your your parks work?
Well, that's part of my growth as a self-employed, as I started branching out, trying to get clients who were interested in doing infographics, sort of detailed, lots of information, lots of drawing, big as possible. And I was lucky enough to get the city of Costa Mesa to hire me to do trail signs, trail interpretive signs, for one of their new parks they've put in, Fairview Park by the Santa Ana River. And I was really fortunate. It started as one sign, and they liked it enough. It was sort of a cutaway view of the wetlands that they're building there to filter the runoff water, and how wetlands can filter water and stuff. And they liked it so much that they hired me to do five more. So that was like a job that kept giving. And that's important to be able to cultivate repeat business, and then hopefully I can go to other cities and say, look what I did for Costa Mesa. Don't you want it too? And we'll see where that goes.
Right. And you also did, I know it's the anniversary of the Navy, yeah?
Coast Guard,
I'm sorry.
100 years, that's right.
100 years. Somebody's anniversary.
In the Navy.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, well, so part of what I do as I'm trying to diversify in my work, I still try to create graphics for newspapers. So I'm producing about four a month that are full-page newspaper graphics that are sold around the country, and there's been some modest success there. And then cultivate other clients. I get clients who want to, you know, architects who need architectural renderings, or I've got a job with the Orange County Water District doing lots of charts for their an annual report they send to Sacramento. So there's definitely some places where they still need infographics, charts, and stuff, and I'm enjoying that work. So one of the things I did was, like I'm working on now, I've done how to protect from the Ebola infection if you're a healthcare worker. I did. I'm working right now on the 20th anniversary of the Oklahoma bombing.
Has that been 20 years?
It has. 1995, April 19th, I think. And so I'm doing a bird's eye view of downtown Oklahoma, what buildings were destroyed, how the tower was destroyed, and where all the victims were.
That
and
cool.
And I'm hoping to do one on, I've just finished one on the Lincoln assassination, which was 150 years ago. And these are sold to newspapers to run on like Sundays or special occasions, things like that.
That is very cool. I'm going to jump in and say we have just been joined by my sweet friend, Andy Mitchell, who I haven't seen in like 100 years. So, hi.
Too long.
So let me give a little introduction of Andy. Andy is the president of the Cartoonists of Orange County. He is also a member of the SCBWI. CAPS and the NCS. His art has appeared in newspapers, magazines, video games, books, and very soon it will also appear in film. He's illustrated and co-authored Draw 50 Magical Creatures, which was published by Doubleday, a division of Random House, in 2009. He's the first cartoonist in the world to be published on the cell phone and PDA medium. His comic strip, Hot Rock, went on to be a finalist for the Washington Post Fine Tune Fellowship. Andy is the writer and artist of the graphic novel Hector and Paula, PV, and the comic book Headcase. Both of these and his 2004 sketchbook are available for sale at milehighcomics.com. And he has worked in several years in video gaming, and background on that experience can be found on mobygames.com. Andy, hi.
Hi. Wow.
Welcome.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here.
So we were just talking a little bit about, well, we were talking about a lot of things, but I'll give you a chance to just say hello, talk a little bit about your history in getting into art, like if you were an artist as a kid or sort of your path into this. And for the young audience out here, either people sitting in their dorm rooms right now or our kids or your nieces and nephews, what you tell them if they came to you and said, you know, Uncle Andy, I want to be an artist. Do you encourage that as a career? So I'm just going to bombard you with questions.
Yeah, I do, but I caution them as well, I guess. I started drawing, and probably the same story with these guys. I started drawing very young, and about 5 years old, I just really kind of got into it. I remember I sold my first drawing in second grade to another kid in my class who I drew a buffalo, and the kid wanted to have it, so he gave me a quarter for it, and I just thought, like, wow, this is something.
A paid artist at
seven.
Pretty good.
Yeah, like, this is a good thing. I like the feel of this. And for kids starting out, yeah, I think sometimes kids hit a block if when they draw something, it doesn't look like the thing itself. And, you know, I just encourage them not to let that be a block. Just, you know, draw whatever you want to draw on paper and let that expression stand on its own. So if you at 6 years old can't draw a horse that looks just like the horse that you saw in a magazine or something like that, don't worry about it. You know, draw your own horse. You'll get there, you know, and don't be afraid to trace, you know, before you draw things on your own. I think a lot of times some parents discourage tracing, like that's, but I think like just learning the way your hand moves mm-hmm. as you're making an image, I think is a valuable thing. And so, you know, when you're very early on, when you're, you know, really young starting out, or if you're an adult just starting out, there's nothing wrong with looking at the work of people that you like and learning from it.
Right. I just heard some pretty good advice, I think, from Ira Glass, the host of This American Life. And he was talking about in all art, both visual art and written art, any art, you are attracted to it because you has good taste. And your ability to reproduce art that is of the standard that your taste is impossible. You have to be at your craft for, you know, I don't know, 10 years or something before you begin to produce the art that your taste is attracted to. And that gap mm-hmm. is just incredibly frustrating to people. I think that's where we lose a lot of artists is that, you know, they see what they're doing and they say, well, that's crap. You know, that's not what I wanted to do.
Right.
And then they kind of get discouraged.
And if you have something in your mind that you're not getting down on paper, yeah, it can take a while to get there, you know. But I think the reason why, like, some artists succeed is if they don't get discouraged, if they're having fun with whatever it is they're doing, you know, kind of the same way it is, like, when you started playing baseball or something like that, you couldn't, you know, throw the way you wanted, you know, you didn't catch everything right away. And it's the same with art or music or something like that. You have to enjoy it despite the mistakes, you know, and just power through it.
Right, right. You are tuned in to Real People of Orange County on KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. We are here with graphic artists and cartoonists and web designer Andy Mitchell, Scott Brown, and Dave Masso. We are talking graphic arts and where graphics have been, where they're going. Andy, maybe you can jump in again. I hate to keep peppering you with questions, so you just sat down. But we were talking a little bit, and I'll see if you have anything to add to this discussion about where, you know, graphics had traditionally been, Scott had worked in the newspaper industry, and now we're moving everything online.
Right.
And with your cartoon being the very first in the world to make it onto a PDF and a cell phone, maybe you can talk about sort of the evolution of your art from paper to screen, and if you're still enjoying it as much, and what you're gaining and what you're losing from that.
Yeah, well, there's been a big change, especially for, you know, guys in our age group, where kind of within your lifetime, all the digital stuff was invented, and at first was super chunky. Like when I started out in video games, it was all 8-bit, and, you know, there was no animation. There were these things called text adventures, which only us old folks will know about. And so we saw that go to, you know, 3D graphics and kind of the advent of Photoshop, which everyone kind of takes for granted now. I have to say, like, I still love the 2D stuff, the paper stuff. I like mixing paint on paper, like not selecting colors from a palette on a screen. And I do think that having, you know, what they call hand skills, I guess, is still important for an artist starting out. So if I'm a young artist at UCI here, even though the final work you produce may come out on a computer, maybe these guys will back me up or maybe they won't, but I think it's important to know some of the hand skills, some of the traditional mediums that Photoshop and other things are simulating.
You're an idealist, I can tell. Plus, yeah. You really are old, aren't you?
I am.
Yeah. I can't imagine. I mean, most of the people I know who work in digital arts don't have any idea what you're talking about, hand skills and painting.
Right,
and,
right.
Are they bad artists? Nah, I think they're fine.
Right,
I don't know that they really need to know.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a necessity. I think I've seen this in kind of in my own lifetime, you know, especially when I was working in video games, where for a while it seemed like every year there was a new visual platform, there was a new tool that you had to learn. And whereas we've now kind of come to rely on Photoshop as being this kind of, you know, multi-tool for artists that we kind of just take for granted, like a hammer or a screwdriver. That wasn't always the case. And so I think that it's to the advantage of the artist when not only are your tools changing, but the jobs are changing. And so I think if you have a broader foundation, you can, when things shift again, which they will, and they seem to shift quickly now, I do think it's of high value to have kind of some of these fundamental skills. It allows you to, you know, jump roles easier, I think.
Dave, have you found in doing your web design, has there ever been any value to you to do anything on paper? Or you just went straight into media?
No, I still, you know, I sketch and you know, if someone needs a logo or something like that, I'll spend time with a pencil, you know, the old way. not so much drawing like Andy might do of figures or cartoons or stuff like that. But yeah, it starts in the sketchbook, you know, with varying results. Sometimes if I can visualize it from the get-go better, I might jump in on the computer right away and play around there and then go back to the book. It just, like I said earlier, it depends.
Yeah. Right. Let's talk a little bit about, so you're all sort of freelancing and running your own businesses and making it as artists in Orange County. And I just wanted to spend a little bit of time talking about running a business as an artist in Orange County and sort of how you've gone about it. It struck me, Andy was talking a little bit offline about the history of art in Orange County and how Orange County was such a haven. Laguna Beach is certainly a haven for artists, and this was where a lot of Disney artists came to retire, so it was a very fertile ground for artists. And then it became very expensive to live here, and which is not conducive for artists, perhaps. So so maybe talk about sort of the changing culture of Orange County and making it, running a business as a, making it as an artist in Orange County. Anybody can jump in.
Okay. I was going to say, yeah, it has changed a lot. I know initially, you know, Laguna Beach and Corona Del Mar, to a lesser degree, were kind of these homes of California Impressionists and then California watercolor painters. But, you know, these were beautiful neighborhoods. And when everybody else figured that out, the prices went way up. And so a lot of the younger artists were kind of priced out of that. And so it seems like Costa Mesa and Santa Ana and places like this in Orange County are kind of the breeding grounds, you know, for these new artists. I don't know where kind of the new pockets of art businesses are growing up, but I know like when I was starting out, the surfer business in Orange County was really strong and employed a lot of people, and video games really took off just as I was graduating from high school, and that was a big engine of employment for, you know, artists and creative people in general. Probably there's something new taking off that I just don't know about yet. Maybe one of these guys knows. But I think both of those are still going pretty strong.
Yeah.
Very strong.
Yeah.
The video game industry is incredibly strong here in Orange County, and so is surfwear, sportswear. I have a nephew who just got a job at Billabong designing sportswear, and it's a very much an active and robust industry here. And he's using Illustrator to do all his design. So, I mean, you learn Illustrator skills, you don't know where you're going to end up. You could be designing board shorts or posters or websites. Doesn't matter. Just learn Illustrator.
Right, right. Yeah, and if you have a broad set of skills, yeah, you can jump between some of these industries. So, yeah.
For sure.
I wonder how much with telecommuting now, how much it's important for you to be on site working for, you know, a cartooning company. I assume they still, like Nickelodeon or some of these places where you probably still have
some of the animation studios. A lot of the, I think a lot of the layout and animation stuff still goes on there, mm-hmm. but storyboarding gets shipped out a lot. And, you know, I have friends who have done that. You know, you can just do that out of your house, and then just drive in and deliver the stuff. Also, character design is done that way, and some of those, like some of the animation jobs, can be feast or famine. But I think character design and storyboarding is a little more steady work, mm-hmm. and has a lot of variety to it and can be a lot of fun. Oh, I'm trying to think of the other thing that you brought up.
What did I bring up?
I don't know.
Well, I wanted to get to running a business in Orange County, but we can do that in a minute.
Yeah.
I can give you an example of an industry that has shifted out of Orange County, which was all of the real estate developers always had really nice renderings of their developments.
Yeah.
And that was a really lucrative business because they would pay a fair amount of money. Even as recently as 5 years ago, it was not unusual to get $1,000 or $1,500 to do a really nice detailed rendering of a custom home. Mm-hmm. And there was thousands of custom homes in Orange County, and they all wanted a pretty picture of it to sell the client or to show the neighbors what's going to be there. But then in the last couple years, well, several years, most of that business is going overseas. And so that same artist who maybe is a very excellent architectural rendering can only get $500 for that same rendering because there are companies in China and India, et cetera, who will do it for $250.
Yeah, and that's a good point, and it applies to the market in general, where the competition now for freelancing is not just limited to our own shores. It's kind of open to the world. And I know that, and I'm not wild about this, but I know it exists, and so this is the world we're in. A lot of business people will just hold a contest online and say, you know, if you, and I'm putting this in quotation marks with my fingers right now because I know this is not a visual medium, radio, but in quotations, like, they have a contest where if you win, you know, you get to have your artwork be part, you know, you do the website design for this company. And it's basically free. You know, you win, of course, but, you know, you're basically doing free work for these businesses. And so, and this goes on all the time. And, you know, if you're competing in that, or maybe if there is a prize at the end of it, maybe say it's $200, you know, $200 doesn't go very far here. But if you're a designer in, you know, China and, you know, you just won that contest in quotations again, that $200 maybe, you know, is rent for a month or, you know, maybe more. And so that's kind of the, it's a difficult thing, but it's the reality of the world we're in.
Hmm.
Right.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
An example of that, so not only competing against overseas and against local people, but also free people and students, a project I'm working on is the 100th anniversary of the Balboa Park Exposition in San Diego, 1915, and I'm doing a poster of it with a bird's eye view of the exposition. And I was reading, they actually awarded the logo for this 100th-year anniversary as a contest. So they had a contest to award. I mean, they typically, you know, years past would have hired a graphic designer and had a professional logo done, but instead they would get it for free. I think they gave the person some prize or something, but it was not money.
Right, right.
And I thought, wow.
Right, right. Yeah, so
I think that's happening all over. I mean, when you go on to the internet, you don't expect to pay for your content anymore. You know, you expect to read a newspaper. I mean, I was outraged when I had
shame on you.
Right. I know. I know. I agree. It's terrible what we now don't expect to pay for.
Now I'm out of a job.
And now you're out of a job.
Thanks.
No, I mean, it's I don't know where the slippery slope ends, but I do know a ton of people are out of work because of a resetting of expectations of what we put value on, what we're willing to pay for. All of this free content sort of flooded the internet all at once, and I think that certainly the arts are suffering as a result of that too. So it's,
you know, there's another side of that though, and it's I think people who are going to succeed in the types of businesses that hire us, they know that they know what they're paying for. You know, you get what you pay for, kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. So for me, that stuff is worrisome, but I try not to freak out about it too much because, you know, I'm as good as my work and I have experience and all that stuff. So it gives me a leg up, kind of on those things. But you got to work at it. You got to work hard. You got to maybe find a niche that, you know, those contesty things and stuff. You look at those sites and a lot of the stuff looks the same, you know, because they're trying to conform, to what they think the client's going to want. So if you, you know, you may use that against them and develop your own look, you know, do your own thing for a while, especially if you're young, you know, you have time, expenses aren't that great. You can really experiment and kind of develop your own style and you can avoid some of that, stuff. You know, people will come to you for what you do, and that's the sweet spot you want to be in, I think.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, let's get into that a little bit, is how you distinguish your work and how you set yourself apart to attract your clients and, you know, sort of what your niche is that you advertise, that this is what I do differently than what other people do. And then maybe that can lead us into the discussion of running a business in Orange County and how we market ourselves. Anybody can jump in here, but maybe you can talk about what distinguishes you from the other people that you'd be competing against in the marketplace and what, you know, kind of your special thing, your specialty.
Well, I have a guy that I know, Bill Stout, and he was really kind of inspiration to me. He's an illustrator, and but he described it to me as kind of having a brand where maybe for each area that you work in, maybe they have no idea that you do these other things, but that's fine if you become known within that group, with that audience, that demographic. So he, you know, he does graphics for films. He's done storyboards and movie posters, like for Wizard. He did storyboards for the Conan movies. But he also is known for his comics work. But he also is known for his natural history drawings. He's known for his dinosaur drawings. And so he'll go to like a rock collector's show where they're into kind of fossils and stuff. And so to that crowd, they have no idea that he does movie monster drawings, or, you know, and they have no idea that he does comics. But for that crowd, he's that. And then he'll go to Comic-Con and they'll have no idea that he's the dinosaur artist. But to each crowd, he's kind of, you know, known for and kind of feeds to that. And so, you know, so I kind of like that lead. So I have my my Kidlit art website, and I have my kind of general art website, and then I have a financialcartoons.com website, which is kind of financial illustrations and caricatures that I do. And, you know, they're not... They don't even have to anything to deal with each other, and you know, the person that hires me for one doesn't have to have any knowledge of the, you know, person that hires me for another. But that seems like a pretty good model to go with. I don't know if you guys do something similar to that.
It's great advice to go to these conventions. You know, to either go to Comic-Con or to go to, I don't know, natural history fossil conventions.
Right, right.
And to seek out the niche. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And there's a big children's book event in LA every year. And what's nice is like some of the crowds for these things are really active, and so are really passionate about it, and you know, can become collectors of work or you know, clients, or you know, there's a lot of different opportunities there. Well, one thing I was just thinking of for the students, and this is a saying that goes on for, I heard about this from comic book guys, but I think it applies to everything, is they were saying that there are just, you know, three things that you need to know to get work. You know, be excellent, be on time, and be nice. And if you can do just two of those things, you have a career.
I like that.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm still looking
for
my...
You look like you're going to look like
you're... I was trying to think how many of those I had. Well, I've worked one and a half, I think, on a good day. Yeah, I find my niche is drying up, and I have to keep looking for new ones. An example of that would be that in the 80s, I would have called myself an infographic artist, and that was the trendy thing to call yourself then. But with the advent of sort of the web taking... such prominence now, then the term infographic has morphed into a different form, and I wouldn't call myself an infographic artist anymore. Most of the infographics produced today for the web are very, very basic and, in my view, not very interesting. And because they've sort of flooded the market, there are now templates that you can create them with and very low-cost ways to create them. So 10 years ago, if I was doing a sort of a flow chart of information, had a lot of drawing on it or something, and you know, you could get $1,000 or $2,000 for it, and it would have a certain amount of gravitas or at least some value. Now, you know, there are lots of arrows and balloon people and very simplistic type that's maybe five words that don't say much. They don't usually often quote their sources, so you don't know how legitimate they are. And they're being put together for $200, and now with templates, they're put together for free. So suddenly, I don't even want to be an infographic artist anymore. The connotation is...
And I've just seen that myself as being kind of a consumer of magazines and things where... and I don't know if you guys sense this too, but I kind of feel like there's a general kind of dumbing down of graphic design that we've been going through. And it still holds up in some areas, but I just say across the board, we've come to accept... a lot of clip art kind of stuff and work that's maybe just above clip art in some of our mainstream magazines. It's disappointing.
It's disappointing, yeah.
Need a mic here. I think it's the disposability of it. You know, I had a friend who writes for the OC, or she used to write for OC Weekly, and I was talking to her once. I'm like, hey, does it ever bum you out that, you know, this stuff was gone by the end of the week, you know, by the next week? And it kind of bummed her out. She hadn't really thought about it that way. But it's funny to me to see publications looking more like websites. You know, print stuff is flipped into this thing where they're looking more and more like your iPad or something, you know. And there's probably big theories behind why that happens, but...
I have one theory, actually, about that. Is I don't know if... I think it is being taught this way at Art Center in Pasadena, but they're kind of the exception. I think if art schools are just teaching design on screens, of course the things that produced are going to look like screens, you know. So if people aren't doing... haven't come from doing a physical pay step ever, they may just... think differently. They may just think differently about design. I don't know.
Right.
For sure. I mean, at the Register, there was a lot of research in how to attract an audience to the web and how the web audience differed from the print audience. But the one theme that was prevalent was how much in a hurry everyone was. And so what we on a print page, maybe you could expect someone to spend 3 minutes, but on a website, that people were spending 3 seconds. And so whatever degree of detail and nuance that you wanted to include in your web was just lost. If they didn't have something, usually a video at the top, if there's not something that's going to make them stay for over 5 seconds, then they're gone.
Well, and then it's also clicks, right? So they're generating income based on how many clicks you get through your website. And so you're motivated to click through something, which is incentivizing you not to spend any time on the page at all, I assume.
No, and I think that sounds right. Yeah, that the value is getting to people to click through, not on people reading more.
Right.
So the incentives are backwards, maybe.
Right.
Yeah.
Somebody was telling me, you know, the way the Register made a lot of money was to put a lot of women in swimsuits And you put 27 of them, and people are going to click through those very quickly rather than sitting on a page and absorbing a lot of information that they don't...
I don't know what you're talking about.
How dare you.
How dare you. That's ridiculous. No one would do that. Yeah, no, there's a lot of top five lists, a lot of top 10 lists, not a lot of you tell us all your feelings lists.
Right.
But, yeah, there's not a lot of, like, grim stories about Ebola and...
Here are seven, 17 slides you need on, on Ebola. Right, no. We're drawing down on our time a little bit. You are tuned into Real People of Orange County on KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. So I'm just going to give each of you a couple of, not too long, a minute or so to give a little wrap up on, certainly tell us where we can find you online again. Find your website, and then I don't know, just thoughts on where we're going in graphic design and sort of your hope for the future and what's out there next for you. Yeah, go ahead, Scott.
Well, my website is scottbrowngraphics.com. Enjoy. Where it's going, I have no idea. It seems very cyclical, so the pendulum will swing around and around. I think the things that were very very prominent in 80s print infographics were dismissed in the 90s and have come back in the 2010s. So we'll just see where the cycles keep going. I think the thing that I enjoy is creating art and graphics that people want to look at, and I hope to be able to do that.
You do that. You're the master at that. Good.
My websites are ajmitchellart.com. financialcartoons.com and kidslitart.com, and probably the best mix of comics and illustration and all that is all on ajmitchellart.com. I'm encouraged by areas. I think like certain things like auto design seems like they're hitting their height right now. You know, it seems like video games are really hitting a height right now. And comics actually are getting really good again. Like all of a sudden, comics are inviting women to read them. They're making comics for younger people again. Things that like I couldn't have said were true maybe 15, 20 years ago. So all that's really exciting. And great things are happening in children's books. And I'm working on a new one right now. So, you know, there are pockets of excitement. You know, you know, we can come down on, you know, the 2D graphics problem right now, but there are other places that are really exciting and probably, you know, for the students listening, you know, may have job opportunities there.
One thing I'll mention is that my daughter's school has moved all their textbooks to the iPad. So she just has an iPad textbook. And I was really struck by, you can go in, let's say it's a social studies textbook and they're learning about the pyramids. You know, now you can click in to go inside the pyramid and you can navigate yourself around the pyramid and you can look up, look down, you know, as though you're inside of it, which is much more engaging than I recall my social studies
right.
back in the
right.
day. So I think, you know, for all of the doom and gloom, for those of us who love books and love print media, there are some neat, cool opportunities of, you know, thinking differently and teaching differently and, you know, approaching information differently that are still alive and well. So.
Yeah, let me pass this.
Yeah, Dave here. My website is spaciousmind.com. It needs an update. It's that whole thing of the...
got to hire yourself.
I do.
The shoemaker.
The shoemaker, yeah, and his kid's shoes or whatever. But as to where it's going, I wouldn't hazard a guess. It's always changing, and I'm kind of trying to figure out where it's at a lot of the time. But... you know, they keep talking about mobile. It's all going mobile and on the web. You know, more and more the stats are showing people are looking at stuff on their mobile. So it's all kind of, that's where the focus is right now, is to how to make that experience better and designing for that rather than a desktop. You know, the desktop is shrinking and it's going to, I don't know, largely go away, they're saying, but who knows? I don't know.
Yeah. Your guess is good. If we knew, we'd be rolling into it. We wouldn't be here right now. Yeah. Gentlemen, thanks so much for taking the time today.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
That's all the time we have for today. I'll be right back here with you next Thursday evening. We're talking more art, so don't miss that. If you missed any part of today's show, it'll be podcast shortly on KUCI's website, kuci.org/talk. It will be on Kimberly's website, kimberlymartin.com. Stay tuned. Coming up next is Counterspin. You're listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great night.